Hello, everyone, and welcome to Defend Your Ship. This is the podcast where you talk about your ships, and we get to learn what a nerd you are, and all the sort of weird stuff that you're into. On this edition of the podcast, we're joined by ambient noise from the garbage area outside.
Yeah. So, also me. I'm also the garbage.
And also, Shannon's here. ShamWow, if you will.
Wow.
This is ShamWow.
I am.
And we also have Raina here. Raina, come close to the mic and introduce yourself.
I'm Raina. I'm the other co-host of this podcast.
I like that you're the other co-host this time, because I'm usually the other, so it's nice to have that subverted.
I see what you did there.
finger guns that the audience can't see. Today segment where you tell us about the fan content you've enjoyed this past week. Oh,
dear God. Basically, I've just been reading more Miraculous Ladybug.
You know what? Fiction. You're being honest, and I respect that.
It's just been a... Literally, all I have been doing with my free time besides watching anime is reading fan fiction for like the past month.
Less. That sounds really charming and relaxing, and I'm glad that you're enjoying the holiday season that way.
Not festive at all, but
well, it depends on like how you celebrate. You know, the holidays are what you make of them. We talked about that in therapy last week, and it is. And I was pretty mellow, actually. Usually I have like a big cry fest, but like nah, I was all about like sitting around reading fan fiction, watching anime. If that's your holidays, then like.
At my last therapy session, I brought my cat.
What?
Yeah, she sat on my therapist's lap. It was very cute.
Oh my God.
I know, I was like, you're supposed to be my therapy cat, but by all means, comfort my therapist.
Oh my God, I'm so charmed by every part of that. I can't bring my dog to therapy. He would scream.
Oh yeah, he would need the therapy more than you.
I'm my dog's.
He'd take over that whole session.
I'm my dog's an emotional support animal. It's just how it is.
Is there any particular Miraculous Ladybug fanfiction you've enjoyed this week?
Yes.
Okay.
So the series is called Love Him, Love You, Plus Them Too.
That's a cute title.
And it's a OT6 fanfic.
Wow. It's a big ol' six.
That's a lot of limbs.
But
just logistically speaking, that's a lot to manage.
Yeah, you're gonna have to write a spreadsheet.
Well, so, I mean, I guess just OT6 like is simplifying favorite. It, but, like, the reason that I enjoy it is, like, well, yes, there is porn, but it also, like, has, like, realistic negotiations of polyamory.
Nice.
Where it's, like, these are people in polyamorous situations, and, like, some of them, like, go off into couples, but they're still all together, and all have, like, different dynamics with each other, and their dynamic changes over time, and like it actually shows polyamory, I think, in a way that isn't just like, oh, polyamory always has to end badly, or like it's just sort of this fantasy of like everybody playing house together, but like somewhere in the middle where it's like, this is what it's like to have a polyamorous relationship.
Wow. That sounds so in depth for like a kid's show about superheroes. This is why I love fanfiction.
It's made by Mad Bad Season. Season of the Geek is their second tagline. And I went through their entire profile on AO3, and they do some really good shit. Unfortunately, this series is not finished. It has 10 parts. So you still have a lot of content there.
Yeah, how many words in the, like, the total?
33,299.
That's a respectable number of words. Highly respectable. It's like half a novel.
None of the chapters have been written since 2017.
Oh, that hurts.
But I'm holding out hope Honey. This was also the person, I don't know if that episode came out yet, but this was the person that made the Ladybug Vampire AU that I talked about.
Ooh, okay. Well, you might hear about that on a future episode.
So, even if polyamory isn't your jam, I highly recommend this author if you like Miraculous Ladybug fanfic.
Nice.
So.
Cool. Shannon, have you experienced any good fan content this week?
I mean, this is like the powers that be content. Harry Styles released a new album. And I'm deeply committed to Harry Styles.
Yeah, actually, speaking, we usually do a plug section at the end, but do you want to piggyback off of that and tell us about your project?
Sure. I made, so this is based on a Tumblr post that, you remember, like, Rave Sashade?
Sashade.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
She made a post ages ago about how Harry Styles has actually been dead for many years and has been, I know, right? And has been impersonated by, like, several people. And I was like, I like this. I dig this idea. I made a web series out of it where I play several Harry Styles impersonators in a locked room.
Wait, is it like a live action web series? Or?
Yeah, it's all of my face. I spent an entire year editing footage of my face talking to my face. It's the most narcissistic thing I've ever done. I'm pretty sure.
I'm about this.
You have to
I
watch
do
this.
Not care about One Direction at all, but I'm about this.
But Harry Styles is his own thing now.
He is,
like,
yeah. He's got two albums of his own now.
His own second head, yeah.
His own second head. I mean, like, this is, like, the creepy thing. A lot of his marketing has been, like, footage of him talking to himself. And I'm like, Harry, did you steal my shit, man? How did you know?
He knows.
It's a little spooky. Especially because I started this a year ago and the marketing didn't come out until, like, the past 2 weeks or so. So I'm like, damn it, Harold.
Oh, my God. Getting data mined by Harry Styles.
I mean, I'm okay with that. I think he's going to be freaked out by all of the Harry Styles / Obama
what?
Fiction that what? I have on my phone.
I'm sorry, what? Repeat that phrase.
It's Obama, if you want the portmanteau.
Is this an actual thing on the interwebs?
It's like a crack thing. I don't, okay. I doubt that it's genuine, but like also Michelle Obama did ding him very hard with a volleyball in the nuts. In like real life, it's a real
well,
thing
this
that happened.
Getting into some tin hat situation right now. This isn't even the ship we're discussing today. We have a whole other ship planned to talk to you guys about, but now I kind of want to talk about this.
Obama. This is what happens when you talk to me. It's all Obama all the time.
I'm dead.
You're welcome.
Well, I don't have any fan content that's going to live up to that. I'm just still working on... I'm just still working on writing my little bathhouse dream series about Harry and Draco meeting at a gay wizarding bathhouse.
Ooh, I like that!
Thank you! It's my dream fic. I tell it to myself, like, as a daydream, which is why it's my dream fic. And nobody else has written it for me, so now I have to do it.
Wow.
I've written a lot of fic just on that basis alone. I wrote, like, a whole Black Widow fic because there wasn't a Black Widow movie at the time, and I was mad about it.
I bet yours is better than the actual movie's gonna be.
I mean, Scarlett Johansson isn't in it, so...
Yeah.
Wait.
How long can I hold that note?
I thought it was a pre... No, is she doing a series, or... I don't even know anymore. Marvel
I haven't been paying attention.
Marvel is so up its own ass.
She was good in Jojo Rabbit, and I'm just going to hold on to that and just remember that there was a reason that she got hired for other things.
Yes.
I mean, she also got hired for the divorce movie of 2019.
Oh, yeah. My roommate was watching that the other night.
I don't want to watch it. I've watched that in real life too many times.
Oh, yeah. That's a mood.
That's depressing.
Anyway, happy Christmas.
Yeah, happy Christmas. This will probably be coming out after Christmas, but, you know,
because we already made our Christmas episode.
I don't even know if I'm going to air that on Christmas. Spoiler
alert,
everybody.
Do it, you coward! Do it, you motherfucking coward!
Yes, thank you, Brenner Herzog over there.
Anyway.
You made me sit through it!
Hopefully by the time this episode comes out, you may or may not have heard our really fantastic one-off we did with Emily on Fanon versus Meatspace, like things that can happen in fandom that can't happen in real life. And one of the things we discussed briefly at the end of that episode was,
Who's your
Scrooge ship? Who do you ship Scrooge with? And I had recommended happiness.
Okay, so that was brief. I was thinking of the other
thing. We don't have to talk about the other thing. This is a whole, new day.
You gotta spoil the other thing for me.
No way, you guys have to listen to the episode.
Okay.
That's how you getcha. Okay.
Fine.
Anyway, I ship Scrooge with the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come.
Ooh.
Because of the vacuous hole where his face should be. And in the episode
like a Dementor.
Exactly. I'm just saying.
Even the Muppet one, he's scary as
action
shit.
There. Right. He's always scary.
I don't want action with that.
Not my kink, but here for the discourse.
I guess.
Well, I couldn't get that bit out in the actual episode because I was laughing too hard to actually say what I was trying to say. So if you don't hear it then, you've heard it now. I ship Scrooge with the Ghost of Christmas Future.
Right.
That's a true thing that I've just said about
myself.
Putting
yourself
on
blast.
I'm a man of my word, and I'm gonna go do it. So, here we go. All right.
Peace
I think
on
it's
Earth.
It's up to me to start this podcast off and get us off this weird train of thought. So, Shannon.
Yeah.
How did you get into fandom?
Probably by accident, Googling anime shit. In terms of, like, actually intentionally getting into fandom, I think it was a combination of, like, the academic perspective and the, like, the gay shit, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a way of taking the dominant narrative, which is protected by copyright and owned by people that don't really reflect my values or my perspective on the world, and it's a way of reclaiming, you know, like, these dominant cultural ideas and turning them into something that actually does reflect who I am and my values.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a really good, smart answer.
That's the most brilliant, succinct little speech on getting into fandom that we've had on this podcast.
I've had practice, because when I was doing My Immortal, I, like, had to actually think through, like, an artist statement, like a bananas human being.
And
so I have three versions of it.
Oh my god, and then for those listening at home, wonderful Shannon here has led a live reading of the My Immortal fan fiction. If you're ever in New York City and we're doing this again, I highly recommend you come and see it. We've done it three times.
Yeah.
I got to be Draco in it last time, which is just the crowning jewel of my career, frankly. Probably the best thing I've done.
That was like a bucket list thing for
you. Absolutely. And somebody complimented me on that at a convention.
Yes!
Right. That was bananas.
That's
so
a good
thank
deal.
You for making that happen to me.
Dude, yes, absolutely. That was also for me.
It was a really great choice. So how did you get into shipping specifically? And then if you want to tie this into how did you get into the ship that we're going to talk about today?
I mean, that one, like, hit me upside the face, was not prepared for it. I don't know. I feel like it's got to be somewhere in, like, Draco and Harry, but, like, probably earlier. I mean, I can go through my O3 and, like, try to find.
Who was
you know
there
what?
At
oh,
the beginning.
Fuck. It might have been Teen Wolf.
Oh,
it might have been Teen Wolf, which, like, I know it's over and, like, so sad that it was canceled after only three seasons, but, like, weren't those three and only those three very good?
I know just enough about Teen Wolf to know that that's funny.
It is. but, like, I do kind of love at least part of what they accomplished with that show. Like, it was not managed well, but, like, it had some good shit in it, and yeah, I might have.
You know, I can't even judge you, so nobody here can judge you.
Good.
Yeah. So that's what's true. The ship that we're talking about today?
Oh, Villanelle and Eve!
Yay! Yay!
Terrible disaster.
Yeah. So this is some new content, so hopefully our listeners have been watching Killing Eve, and if you haven't,
I'm probably going to spoil something.
I have not watched it.
Are you going to be pissed if I spoil
it? I will not, but our podcast guest, Maggie McMuffin, who we had on for our Harley and Joker episode, loves this show and is constantly talking about how gay it is.
It is. Yeah, it's, like, textually gay. It's not even, like, Teen Wolf gay. It's actual gay.
How lucky are we to be talking on this podcast about a ship that happens on purpose?
Yeah. I mean, it's not, like, I was talking to a friend about it, and, like, it is, like, they were talking about how it did kind of feel queerbaity, and I feel like I see that, right? Because it's not, like, it's not like Love, Simon, right? Where, like,
Right.
Do you want to give like a quick synopsis of what the show is for those that have not watched it?
Yeah, sure. So it's about someone who works for MI6. Well, she works for MI5. Then gets fired. Then works for MI6. Already, this is on to a bad start. Because she's obsessed with this female serial killer. And they like, they fall in like obsession. Like, I don't even want to call it love, although I think that's like in there, but it's like they fall in obsession. They fall in this like cycle of just like constantly thinking about each other and like to the destruction of everything else in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's the text.
Yeah, it's a train wreck on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's delightful to watch. And so funny. I wasn't expecting that show to be hilarious, but they've got some really good lines in there.
Yeah, and, like, it's the way they've, like, done the cinematography, too. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, like, sassy cinematography. It's neat. Yeah. It's gorgeous on a lot of levels.
I mean, from the little that I know of it, and I could be completely wrong because I know very little of it, but, like, it kind of seems from the internet to be the femme/slash version of Hannibal minus the cannibalism.
Yeah, I mean, you're not on the wrong track, per se. I think that, like, Hannibal was still subtext right up until the last, like, minute and a half of that show, right? Like, there was still plausible deniability in Hannibal right until that last minute. And, like, that's also true of, like, Kurosami. And, like, that's nice that now we know that, like, the rest of this show is queer, but, like, it would have been great to know the whole time and, like, have that validation during the, like, heyday of that fandom instead of this, like, last minute, like, oh, by the way, here's, like, a little bone for y'all. Whereas, like, Killing Eve is, it's pretty much on the surface.
Hi, kitty. You may be hearing a cat in the background.
The cat agrees with me.
Yeah. That's what we're hearing.
Yeah, it's a pussy cat power. Agrees. I'm sorry, everyone.
That's an excellent application of pussy power, honestly.
Wow.
Right as it came out, I just knew I needed to apologize for it. So yeah, I mean, it's still, like, I mean, it's not like they get, like, these great makeout scenes or these great, like, you know, like, it's not a romance. And I think that, like, you're on the right track comparing it to Hannibal in that way, right? Like, this isn't something that's destined to have, like, a happy ending. This is a bad guy, but then
it's a also dubious, like, guy. It seems that it's, like, the same sort of stylistic, like, very much all about the set dressing and the lighting sort of show.
It's actually, I would say it's not as heavily stylistic as, I think the language is very stylistic and the character, the acting is stylistic. It's sort of, it's all very, it's kind of elevated and people are doing things that you wouldn't do in real life, mm-hmm. which is not unlike eating people, which I also wouldn't do in real life. Sorry.
It's okay. I got one thing. It's my one thing. It's eating people. You're going to have one, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm planning to air this episode, we'll go out after our Hannibal episode, because I think that these shows are really interesting in conversation with each other, because of exactly some of those reasons. Like, when I was watching Hannibal, there was never really a doubt in my mind that something gay was going on, but you're right, we didn't get that absolute head nod of, yes, God says yes, they are gay. But in Killing Eve, it's like, one of the characters is absolutely canonically bi.
Yeah.
And you see her having relationships with men and with women. The other character is straight, but the way she interacts with and reacts to the other character is real queer. And it makes this really fascinating tension, because there's that sort of unspoken element of will Eve or won't she be queer? That sort of fascinates me, to see her coming into queerness through this, like, villainous trajectory, which is also something you see in Hannibal. And so you've got that putting queerness in conversation with evil and with criminality.
Well, it's also, it's more intentional, right? Like, queerness has always been, you know, correlated or, like, with criminality.
Yes.
Like, you see, like, Ursula from The Little Mermaid. Like, it's based on a drag queen.
Yeah.
She's, like, one of the worst Disney villains of all time. And, like, Scar.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, like, from, like, the very first introductions that we as Americans and English speakers have to media, queer people are evil. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's, part of that's from, like, way, way back when, during, like, the Hays Code era, where if you had a gay character on screen, they had to have a tragic ending, or you couldn't have the gay character on screen, or you couldn't make your movie. And that just became the narrative for queer people for a long time because of, like, those structures and laws, but then also just, like, you know, shitty stereotypes and also queer people not really being in charge of their own narrative. So, like, hey, fandom.
Yeah.
But having that, like, intentional, like, complicated relationship with, like, not just criminality, but, like, I think, honestly, like, genuine evil, right? Because, like, criminality, like,
yeah,
like, that's, criminality is a social construct, yes. And, like, there's a lot of complicated issues with that, right? And I don't think Killing Eve is really talking about that. I think it's really talking about evil, mm-hmm. in a way. And, like, obviously, there's, like, a relationship with evil and criminality, but, like, it's not quite the same, and I don't think it's being presented as the same thing. I think it's being presented as, like, Eve has a choice, and it's either to, like, continue with a life that is unsatisfying for her, or, like, just not fulfilling the needs that she has as a person, or go to this other path, which is, like, blow up your entire life, like, have this, like, crazy passionate relationship that, like, does what you need, but also, like, you're giving up, like, some of your humanity, perhaps, in exchange.
Yeah.
Which is a sad metaphor for, like, going gay, but I think that it's about what, I feel like when I see it, it's about why that choice is a fucked up choice to have to make.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I like the way you're talking about this already. I'm, like, really...
A+. I win.
Yes. I've also seen all of this, and, like, that's... Yeah, you're right. That is a fucked up choice to have to make. But the show pushes you there to make, to lay that choice out. Whereas we don't always think about the choice between queerness and the social construct of humanity, mm-hmm. I guess, as being the choice that we're making. But I've certainly felt that way in having to choose between, like, my family and my friends. I've absolutely been put in that position. And so to see it play out in this heightened world where queerness is accompanied by fabulous clothes and also you get to murder people for fun and profit. So I think we've covered this a little bit. We usually ask our guests if their ship is a tin hat situation.
No.
This is super not. It's right not. There. Yeah. Yeah, because Villanelle is clearly, like, she absolutely wants to get with Eve.
I masturbate about you all the time is a real line that was really on TV, everybody.
Can you imagine if your ship on screen, one of them said to the other, I masturbate about you all the time. Can you imagine, like...
If you came this far without realizing this is a not safe for work podcast.
Oh, no! Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
This is a not safe for work podcast.
Yeah. It's marked as explicit. I make no bones about this. That's yeah. Good. Oh, yeah, no, we can talk about sex all we want.
Yes, that's so liberating.
Yeah, actually, yeah, oh, yeah. And, I mean, the Hannibal episode, which will come out before this one, is just, you know, brimming. I'm sorry. Brimming with sex. I mean, it's really, that was a rough.
It was a time.
Yeah, this is already off to a way tamer start, but, like, we can absolutely get into the sex of this. No problem. Let's go there.
I'll get there.
Oh, yes. So what are some of your, when you're experiencing fan content, because I'm not really familiar with the fandom of the show, I'm only familiar with the canon. So in the fandom, what are some of your favorite tropes with this couple? What do you like to see portrayed in fandom for them?
So what I think is neat about this fandom is that, and this is, I think, in part because female ships just aren't as popular.
Yeah,
It means there aren't.
PK do crimes.
Hey, it means there aren't as many, like, can I use, like, the term fandom ghost? Is that a term that, like, I can use and, like, people maybe get what I'm talking about?
Well, could you define that better?
So the idea is that, like, there's a, like, set of character tropes that kind of just get copy pasted onto different characters depending on which fandom is, like, really hot at the time. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's, like, a Draco Malfoy version that, like, dates back to, like, I think Cassandra Clare days, right? That, like, really took off, and, like, you see, like, a version of that sort of he's snarky and sexy and kind of a hot mess character.
The, like, word smirk is used every time he talks.
Exactly, yeah. And, like, I've seen that with, like, Styles from Teen Wolf. I've seen, like, versions of that in a lot of different fandoms, and I think that, like, there's probably, like, I think in like Once Upon a Time, I feel like you could probably find some like that, but there's also not as much crossover between fandoms that have female ships so you don't get that kind of ghost persona going through it a lot of the time. So, like, you know, if you've, like, you were really into the Once Upon a Time fandom, and then you go to the Killing Eve fandom, which, like, maybe there is crossover. I don't know that I've seen it, but, like, if you just really want lesbians, then, like, go for it. Like, that you've got very limited options, yeah, my friends.
That is something that we've talked about in the past, how in, like, fandom, gay ships are so sexualized, and then with female ships, it's, like, they're still sexualized to a point, but it's almost like a lot of people are just kind of like, shrug, I don't know what to do with women's, what do they do together?
I mean, part of that is, I think, just female sexuality in general, right? Like, I've seen that with het ships, too, is that, like, and part of that is just, like, the culture we live in and, like, the shit we swim in is that, like, we know what to do with a penis. We've seen American Pie, or even if we haven't, we know what happens in American
Pie.
Yeah,
not a lot of difficulty there.
Yeah, really. Right, like, it's not complicated. We figured that out. It's very much part of our cultural and intellectual lexicon about sex. Yeah. But, like, we don't know what to do with anything else. And I mean, like, everything else. It's literally just dicks that we know what to do with. We don't know what to do with, like, nipples. We don't know what to do with buttholes. Like, clits, we're just confused as all fuck. Like, we don't know. See, now we're rated R. You're welcome, everyone. So, like,
Well, I think, like, because, like, a thing I've talked about in this podcast in the past is that, like, I really do like BDSM fics, but my favorite BDSM fic is when it, like, subverts the idea of, like, maleness having to be dominant and, like, basically femdoms and the idea of, like, this, like, women not having to be subservient.
Yeah, there's, like, a whole spectrum of what human beings can do with each other.
Exactly.
And, yeah, it's nice to think about them sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, if you're me, you just like reading the ones with dicks because it's just so easy.
Yeah.
And you just don't have to think about it.
That's fair. That's the other thing, too, right?
That's where, like, I live. So.
If you want to talk about fantasy and fulfillment, which, like, fic is and should be, right? Like, sometimes easy sex is a beautiful fantasy, and, like, I fully support that.
I mean, like, the trans guy over here reading about people with dicks is not an original take, so I'm aware of that.
But it's a true take. It's an honest one. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's the beautiful thing about fandom, is that it's not beholden to anyone, so it can be honest.
But I think a thing that interests me about femslash is that, like, even in gay fic, there's often this thing of, like, the taller one has to be dominant, the more manly one has to be dominant.
And I hate that.
And, like, with femslash, it's, like, sort of, it opens up all of these possibilities because you're not beholden to this idea of mask equals right, or, like, mask equals, like, powerful.
Mm-hmm. Or that, like, toxic version of masculinity that, like...
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Although I do think that those rigid and stupid and outdated structures that come with, like, masculinity and cis men that get written about in fan fiction is that fan fiction sometimes serves to subvert that or change that. You've got this launching board of, here's this thing that I want to talk about or experience or fantasize about that has to do with these structures. When we get into femslash, it seems to me, from as an outsider, that there are fewer structures to springboard off of that. So the creativity is coming from a different place. And I think that that can be not a barrier to entry exactly, but people can arrive in femslash and go, yeah, I'm glad this is happening. I just don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. Well, I think that, I mean, like, I feel like people probably have that experience just having sex with women. I'm glad this is happening, but I don't know what to do with it.
It's a fucking mood.
Like, sometimes that's just what it's like, and you have to, like, be there and be like, well, I'm sorry I didn't come with an instruction manual.
How do vulvas work again? I'm so confused.
And, like, you gotta, like, fast forward to that, like, Laverne Cox part of Orange is the New Black, where she's got, like, a whiteboard, and she's like, and you all have a vulva.
murder me.
I mean, murder we are me. On the Killing Eve episode, so...
All right, back on track.
Not in the cards.
Back on track. That was all pretty on track, though. That was really on point. Wow. Okay. So what are some of your favorite tropes for this relationship?
That's the thing. I don't know that there are any that I would, like, think of as tropes for mm-hmm. that reason, right? Like, I yeah. mean, you think of a trope as, like, something you see over and over and over again. And what I think I see in the Killing Eve fandom is that, like, that's not the thing. Like, maybe it's that people are trying to figure out what the tropes are still. Because, like, there's not as much content as some mm-hmm. of the other, like, fandoms in the world. And it's also kind of niche. So, like, there's yeah. only so many people you can be in conversation with to create those tropes in the first place. But I also think it means that, like, people are getting kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, so, like, I think some people are riffing off Hannibal a little bit. I'm sure people are riffing off other stuff that I just don't recognize. Because they're also just, like, there aren't enough femslash ships that, like, I'm super into for me to, like, recognize necessarily if they're, like, in conversation with one another.
Yeah.
What's your favorite weird thing you've seen so far?
I don't even know. Like, I watched a crack vid this morning that okay. I was, like, really down with. And I think that, like, that's kind of the response I have to this fandom a lot, is just this, like, what? That happened? Someone let this go on TV? What? Like, Phoebe Waller-Bridge wasn't a thing when this started. What the? Who signed off on this? Who allowed this to occur?
Yeah.
I think that's, like, that yeah. kind of response is, like, the one that, like, I go to fandom and I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I see you. Yeah, we're all having that feel.
Yeah, yeah. The fandom that's about sharing the feelings of watching the thing unfold is a great place to be.
We're all,
yeah.
like, kind of in shock that, like, the world has allowed this gift to unfold.
Yeah, yeah, right. And it's amazing that the content is literally writing itself on television. Yeah. Like, wow, what a gift. I've never experienced that. That is great. That's a lie. I've watched Black Sails, and that was
a gift.
That
as
was
well.
A gift, yeah. This is
a different kind
this
of
is,
gift.
This is almost a better gift. This is almost a nicer gift, because I feel like...
People are dressed nicer.
People are... That, well, okay, I would... Listen, I need...
I know you have a thing with, like, dudes covered in mud, but, like...
Wow.
This is a different thing. This
Let's
is...
just wreck Stevie to filth.
I'm sorry.
Let's just do it right now.
I also have that thing. I share this with you. I just also have a thing for, like, women in pantsuits looking fine as fuck.
I mean, this yes. is making me really want to watch this show.
Yes!
I already yeah. knew I wanted to watch this show.
You do. You
I'm
really
just...
do. For me.
My list of things to consume is so high,
this
y'all.
This one's very short, though.
It is not very many short. Episodes.
Wait, is it already done?
No.
Okay.
But I mean, only... it's been renewed for season 3, but that's not coming for at least a year.
Yeah, okay. There's only 2 seasons, and there's only a few episodes per season. So if you binge all of it right now, then you can
be done
suffer with us for another year. Yeah. And you can hop right into this lady back into your Ladybug fandom, because you're going to need something to heal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I need to get through all 16 tabs of my Ladybug fanfic before that happens.
That is a noble cause.
I don't know. I feel like you should have that as, like, in your back pocket for, like, comfort food later. But that's
yeah,
me.
I would agree with that. Yeah, you gotta pack some trail mix.
Yeah, self-care, self-love. Yeah.
Yep. So, is there any controversy? We'll ask if there's any controversy around the ship and how you've responded to that, but I don't know that I've seen any controversy about Killing Eve. Has there been any?
Well, again, it's one of the, because it's so small, I think it's harder for, like, a giant flame war to ensue on, like,
yeah.
you know, like, Marvel, or, like, oh my god, the Harry Potter fandom back in the day, like, that, like, there's just enough people to fuel the fire.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't know that there is. I think it's more, like, it's intellectually controversial. Like, is this the kind of queer representation that we want on mainstream media? Maybe not. Like, mm-hmm. How is this serving a queer narrative as, like, a whole outside of this, like, one series? Like, is this the impression that we want people to have of lesbian relationships? Like, I can see that, right? Like, there, you could easily read into, like, a predatory lesbian or a predatory bisexual narrative into Villanelle, right? Like, she comes in, she blows up this lady's marriage because she's into her, and, like, kind of ruins her life, and she's dangerous, she's murdery. Like,
also, she's actually named Villanelle. Like, that's...
That is the name that she gave herself, yes. That is her given name.
Her give herself given name,
yes. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Good choice.
Like, Lady Bird. But yeah, it is. Like, so, you could definitely read that kind of, like problematic narrative into
yeah,
this. And I don't think you would be wrong, per se.
I don't know. I guess my hot take was that Eve blew up her own life.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I wouldn't blame the blow up on Villanelle, but I can see how that could be
construed. Yeah, like Eve has some autonomy here. She makes her own choices, and most of them are terrible choices.
Fucking God, that lady makes, she succeeds so much for someone who makes as many bad fucking choices as she makes. It's almost remarkable. And I say that
fired with, like, four times.
I say it with love. I love series. That about her. I love that her character is sort of allowed to make stupid decisions and fail, and it's never like.
And they're realistically dumb choices. It's not like she's being an idiot to, like, make the plot happen.
No.
Like, you believe her, and, like, you get why she's doing what she's doing. It's, you know, it's complicated. It's not like it's, you know, like. Ah, lesbian. Now I must make terrible decisions. Like, that's not how it works. Although, like, I'm sure there's someone in the world who thinks that is how lesbians function. I'm sorry that
let's move
wrong.
In together.
Yeah.
I feel like there's this tension in femme queer media where it's like either it's the disaster gaze or it just has to be a white picket fence.
Yeah. And it has to be Love, Simon.
Yeah, and there isn't an in between sort of.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know, like, how much of a service is it for gay people to have to be perfect and also, like, cis white, like, models of, like, good gay behavior? Like, I don't know how much that serves us either.
Well, I guess I could argue that Sailor Uranus and Sailor Neptune are the in-between, because...
Yeah, but, like, the U.S. version also made them cousins
instead.
Yeah, that's
true. So, like, we don't talk about it. I've blocked that from my memory.
I mean, that's fair, because, like, that's a... They'd still kissed.
They did.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's remarkable.
Oh, it was like a... It was a choice.
Wow. They literally raised a child platonically with their best friend.
I forgot about that part. They did that.
Anyway, back on track.
Anyway, so what are you learning from this fandom? As you're experiencing it, what is it teaching you? What is this relationship giving you that comes with you into your day-to-day life?
I think it's the boundaries of what are acceptable should always be questioned, right? Like, this is not a show that I would have expected to happen in the year of our Lord 2019, and that's a good thing, I think. Like, you know, I had a set of expectations for, like, what could feasibly happen and, like, what media could be made, and this show was, like, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, there's things that, you know, like, are imperfect, but it, just the fact of it taking those expectations and creating something that, like, goes well beyond those boundaries just tells me that, like, those boundaries are made up and we live in a world where there's just so much media now, and you can go really niche. Why the fuck not?
Just out of curiosity, is it on, like, a network, or is it...
It's BBC America, and it's been on AMC.
Okay. Yeah, which means that it's difficult to find after it airs.
It's on Amazon Prime.
But you have to purchase it. The first season is available for streaming on Amazon Prime.
Right.
The second season is available for pirating. I'm encouraging anybody to pirate content,
sure.
But if you wanted
if you
to watch
though,
this
you
show,
broke, like you broke,
if
yeah.
you don't want to support Jeff Bezos, our evil overlord,
yeah, you could always just try pirating it.
Like that's the other thing though too, Liz. Like streaming for all that, like it has kind of hurt some creators, and it's come as kind of a mixed bag. It has meant that a lot of new shit that got dismissed or ignored 5-10 years ago is having its time to shine now, and I think that is a signal for, like, big media companies, and also small ones that, like, couldn't have made much of anything before, now can actually, like, this is, like, kind of a sidebar, but, like, did you hear about that Christmas movie that they, like, filmed twice, and one had, like, regular heterosexual parents, and the other one had gay parents, and they just swapped out, oh man, you didn't hear about this? This was, like, 10 years ago. It was, I think, for, like, Lifetime, maybe? Or,
oh
like,
my God.
The Oxygen Channel. They made this movie, and, like, it's a Christmas movie. But, like, the protagonist's two parents, in one version, they're heterosexual parents. And then in another version, they literally just, they were filming it day to day. And they just, like, were, like, cut, swap out one parent for, like, the gay parent now. And then just refilmed the exact same scene. So they made two versions of it. Because at the time, they wanted to make the gay version of that movie, but they didn't think they could get funding.
And this so is they how just, they managed to fund.
They just went Baby Yoda on its ass.
I guess. That's I mean, like, insane. They made. Yeah, so they made two versions of it and sold essentially the same movie twice, but one of them was to, like, Oxygen or Hallmark or something. And the other one was to, was it Logo?
Oh,
was
the game network at the Logo time?
Yeah. They sold it to them because, like, Logo couldn't
Holy shit.
Fund a whole movie like that. But, like, and, like, that's how they got it made. And now, like, now we can do fucking Killing Eve.
Oh my god, I am agog. Okay, so, I think we've talked a bit about this already. What draws you back to this fandom? What's gonna bring you back? What's gonna be that thing that's, like, at the front of your brain when you're coming back to the third season?
Dude, Sandra Oh is so good.
Oh my god, she's so good.
She's an incredible, like, the amount of Grey's Anatomy I have seen now is, like, silly because of Sandra Oh.
Her voice is amazing.
Yeah, and, like, there's so many scenes just in Killing Eve alone where she has to act surprised, and think about how many takes she has to do of pretending to be surprised. That is a hard thing to do once, let alone, like, 20 times, and to still sell it as being, like, genuinely shocked. That's hard! That's a hard job. Everything about her job is really hard, and, like, there's so much tension, and, like, Jodie Comer is also incredible, like, they're both so good, and they have this beautiful chemistry together as performers, and, like, they support each other so well. Like, they're incredible people to watch on film.
Yeah.
Everyone else in the cast is also amazing, but, like, it's, for me, it's about those two together, and, like, just, especially some of those scenes are really long.
Yeah. What was that line? There was a comment, a quote about the show. It was, like, the show exists to put these two women in a room together. So, like, that was the marketing bit that got me to watch it, because I was like, oh man, you know, I just love a whole narrative about getting two people in the same room. That's why I've been reading fan fiction. Into bed. Yes,
where they stab each other.
Have you created fan content for this ship?
No, I don't think I have, actually.
Ooh. Well, let us know if you do.
I'm like, do.
Yeah, that'd be pretty. I would trust you to do something about this. Yeah.
I don't know what I would do. Part of me wants to just, like, dress up.
Hell,
those
yes.
costumes are really expensive.
That's true. You can get them secondhand.
Some of them are secondhand. You know the dress that Eve is wearing is, like, she's, like, pretending to, like, it's, like, a funeral. It's, it's an Alexander McQueen, like, a vintage piece that the costume designer was like, I need to get that! And, like, fun fact, it really looks a lot like the Harry Styles Met Gala outfit, which, it isn't. I looked. His was bespoke, and it's Gucci, but, like, they're so similar.
That's amazing. Yeah. And I love that we brought it all the way back to Harry Styles.
I've got two things I care about. We've found both of them.
If you could have one piece of fan content created for your ship right now, just order off the big menu of everyone's imagination, what would you have on your plate right now? Just want actual sex.
Yeah. I want, like, a 45-minute, everything in the house is broken now. Sex.
Yes.
Because, like, you know, like, they've already, like, broken champagne bottles. Everything in the house is just going to be fucking wrecked. Everyone's going to be just bleeding a little bit.
Nice.
It's going to be kind of sharp and pointy, but, like, very sexy.
That's, right, like, nails have not been trimmed prior to this encounter.
Would you say that this could be a BDSM relationship?
I mean, I feel like that's there. Like, textually, there is, like, a scene between Eve and her husband that's, like...
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, where she's like, hey, you, dominate me.
Yeah, that's true.
I command you to dominate me. Now.
And that's exactly the kind of dynamic you would appreciate, isn't it, right?
Yeah. And, like, so I think that is there, but BDSM implies that there's some, like, conversation about needs and wants. That's there's, fair. Like, a safe word involved.
That's true.
This isn't the kind of relationship that is healthy or safe or sane or consensual.
I mean, unfortunately, with fan fiction, a lot of BDSM fics are not.
Right. Yeah, it's so, like, I wouldn't, if I was writing that fic, I wouldn't label it as that. I would label it as, like, whatever the opposite of safe, sane,
unnegotiated bullshit.
Yeah, like.
Dubious consent.
Yeah, I think that consent is there.
Yeah.
On both.
Well, I guess dubious consent in the fact that it's, like.
Unnegotiated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, they both, those two ladies definitely want to fuck each other in some capacity. Like, in whatever
beautiful... I don't think they know what kind of capacity, but they're ready they to don't. Find out.
In some capacity of the word fuck yet unknown,
yeah.
They would like to fuck. But they are not going to talk about that beforehand or afterward. They're going to fuck, break stuff, go to sleep, maybe stab each other, go home, rescue the other one from the hospital, spend the rest of the season running after each other, bleeding.
Then I think like, what you're suggesting is that, in fact, these first two seasons have been that discussion, and they are currently still negotiating the terms of their sexual encounter.
You know what? I could absolutely read these two seasons of the show just as an extended kink negotiation.
Yeah. What are you into? Stabbing? No? Okay. Good to know.
What's we'll remember our safe that. Word?
What would their safe word be?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. What would their safe word be?
God.
I mean, there's also just the...
They had one.
They did?
They did, remember? They technically had a safe word. Oh, no, what was it? Gentlemen.
Gentlemen. Gentlemen. Oh, my God. Raina, you have to watch this.
Safe word was gentlemen.
That was a really good, that was a good fucking scene. Oh, man. Okay.
There's so... been penetration, just not the fun kind.
Although Maggie McMuffin might appreciate it.
Oh, she loves this show.
Right, that's
she
right.
She watches it with her girlfriend, Mary,
yes,
all the
exactly.
time.
Yes, exactly. So no wonder, because the knives, we did some talk of knife play in gotcha. Our episode with Darling Maggie, and that was great for me to experience. I really liked that episode. So
good.
Apparently I'm also interested in stabbing in an intellectual capacity.
Again, not my kink. Here for the discourse. We need
so
t-shirts.
Here for it. Yes.
We need t-shirts.
That'll be our t-shirt. Yes. So I was going to ask you what makes you think of these ladies out in the wild when you're living your life. What makes you think of them? Clearly knives. Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, perhaps.
Whenever I see like a hot girl on the train.
Yeah.
And she's got like this good outfit. I'm like, you could go kill someone today. And I'd probably be rooting for you.
That's yeah. a mood. That's a mood.
That's the vibe I get from like some of these like women in New York who just like they're literally killing it.
Yeah. Well, New York ladies, keep doing what you're doing.
Please. I look up
even
to
if,
you.
Even if you're killing somebody, apparently we would root for you.
I mean, be gay, like, do crime.
Be gay, yeah. do crimes.
Maybe be picky, but like don't kill me, maybe, but like
yeah.
Kill somebody
know.
Who deserves
Harvey Weinstein.
It.
Well, okay. Oh, wait.
I'm sorry, should I not be giving people murder suggestions?
I would just like the U.S. government to know that I was not about to say what you think I was just about to say. However, if you would like to kill someone, I think suggestions have been given, not by us, clearly. You might be able to find those
just
online.
Tweet me later.
Yeah. And what's your Twitter? Actually, while we're plugging things.
ShannonXL.
Great. And where can we find your Harry Styles multiplicity?
I think my Twitter is Harry Styles Multiplicity Truther.
Yes, okay.
Hashtag the Harrys.
Hashtag the Harrys.
You can also, yeah, if you go on YouTube, the Harrys. Harry Styles Multiplicity Truth.
Beautiful.
That's me.
And while Raina is sobbing over here, you can find us on Twitter at defendyourship. You can also email us at defendyourship@gmail.com. Please let us know if you have any Killing Eve stuff you would like to discuss. Yes, please do.
If you have any fanfic recs.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you have any fan art recs, we want it all.
Especially if it's Killing Eve and sexual.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, get me that 45-minute video, you guys.
Give us that sweet, sweet femme slash.
Yes. All right. That is... That's a wrap. Woo!